Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, I want to talk to you in the next few moments, and we're going to pray. I want to talk to you about, you know, God answers prayer. You know, life's full of uncertainties. Honestly, I don't know how unsaved people do it, because everything in life's very uncertain. Stock market's uncertain. The economy's uncertain. I mean, you buy a car, it's uncertain whether it's going to work. You get a warranty. You get health insurance because life's uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. In the natural world, it's a very, very uncertain world. You can wake up to an earthquake like many of you did. I didn't feel it. I don't know. I didn't feel it, but other people did. So, I mean, a good question to ask a believer is, what are you certain of? And probably like Ben Franklin, they'll say death and taxes. But you know, one of the great truths of Christianity is this: it's based on absolutes. That God does not, our God does not dwell or deal in a foggy realm of maybe or maybe not. God deals in certainties. And one of the great certainties when it comes to the kingdom of God is God answers prayer. This is not a maybe, maybe not proposition. If you're approaching God wondering if he will, wondering if he does, you're not going to get very far in your prayer life with God. You've got to approach him believing that he not only is real, but that he hears and that he's a God who answers prayer. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. God answers prayer. So what I want to do is I want to look at 1 John chapter 5, just three verses in that chapter, verses 13 through 15, because we're reminded of the certainty of God's answer of prayer. And you're going to find in that those three verses the word know, things we know, K-N-O-W, about prayer and about God. In fact, when you read 1 John, it's an epistle about what we know. 39 times in the book, John says, uses the word know. So let's look at it here in verses 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Powerful, effective, answered prayer is confident prayer. And confident prayer is fueled by what we know. That you have to be convinced in your heart when you go to God. You have to know some things. Let me give you three things we need to know for answered prayer, and then we're going to pray. Number one, we need to know we have eternal life. You need to know that. You need to know you have eternal life. Look at it at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know you have eternal life. One of the great certainties of Christianity is that when you put your faith in God, you have eternal life. Now, what fools are, or what causes a lot of people to get off track or not understand the value of that is they say, well, eternal life, and most people think of eternal life as being what? Living forever. That's not what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about eternal life. Believers and unbelievers live forever. So eternal life is not talking about a quantity of time. It's talking about a quality of existence. Take it a step further. It's not just talking about a quality of existence. It's talking about a relationship that you and I have with God. That is what eternal life is. You and I walking in relationship with God. Jesus said this in John chapter 17 and verse 3. Now this is eternal life, the words of Jesus, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life, then, is a knowledge of and relationship with knowing God, not just knowing about Him, knowing God, knowing Him as our Father, knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, yes, but as our brother and our friend. Knowing Him. That's what eternal life is. When you pray, remember that you know God. When you pray, remember that you have relationship with Him. You not only know Him, He knows you. And you're in relationship with Him. What kind of relationship? You're in one of the closest relationships a human being can be in. He is, God is your Father. He is, you have a close relationship. Listen to it in Luke chapter 11. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray because, I mean, we watch your life and your life's so powerful and we know prayer is the key. Listen to what Jesus says. When you pray, say, Father. I mean, when you pray, recognize the relationship you have with God. You're not just going to some distant deity. You're not just going to a God who's too busy to care. You're going to a Father, the best of fathers. When you pray, say, Father. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8. When you pray, pray to your Father. You can't see Him, but He's there. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't just be babbling. No, when you go, know this, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. In other words, don't just sit there and do some kind of rote prayer. Don't just do a bunch of repetitive prayers thinking that somehow your continual repetition... I'm going to make some people upset here. But the idea that somehow you would repeatedly do so many Our Fathers, so many Hail Marys, so many, you're going through the rosary, that somehow because you do all of that, God's going to hear you, that's exactly, bring that scripture back up, that's exactly what He's saying, don't do. Don't do that. He's saying, when you pray, your Father knows even before you ask Him. You've got a relationship with Him. You don't have to, like, try to convince Him to hear you. Listen, while my kids needed something, they didn't need to convince me to hear them. When they needed something, when they were in trouble, when I could help them, when I could do good to them, I wanted to do it. And I'm not even close to being as good a father as God. Remember, we know we have eternal life. When you pray, remember that relationship you're in. That tonight, when you come, in a moment, when we pray, you go to Him, you're going to your Father. So we know we have eternal life. Second thing we know He's listening. We know He's listening. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Confidence. That's that word, boldly approach the throne of grace where we can find grace and mercy to help us in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, that word confidence, translated boldly, it's speaking what's on your mind. It's a freedom to speak. It's speaking with bluntness, the word paresia in the Greek. Now look at it in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears you. You're praying, He hears. You're praying to your Father, He's listening. And if we know that He hears us. And let me just make a couple of observations on that verse. First of all, our receiving from God depends on our approaching God. So don't expect, you know, you have not, James said, because you ask not. You can't receive from God if you never approach God. You can't receive from God unless you ask God. You'll never receive from God unless you go boldly to God. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Second, our receiving from God depends on knowing God's will. verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God will not do what's against his will. So if you're praying for somebody or something and it's against his will, then it's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. So like you're praying for a relationship with an unbeliever, you're barking up the wrong tree. It's not going to happen. You say, well, it doesn't matter, but what you just. What matters is, what is God's will? You say, but how do I know God's will? God's word reveals God's will. Okay, so if you want to know God's will, read his word, and that helps you. I mean, this is the value of reading the word of God. It helps you understand the heart and the mind of the Father, the wisdom of God, so you can pray according to the will of God. You say, well, but, you know, whether I should marry this person or go to this school or buy this home or take this job, that's not in the Bible. Then the issue is this. Are you doing the revealed will of God? Because if you're not doing the revealed will of God, i.e. living the word, then it's going to be very difficult for you to hear or know the unrevealed will of God. Because why would God show you his unrevealed will if you don't care anything about his revealed will? If you don't care about the thing he's already told you to do and you're not doing it, then how do you think you're going to get anywhere with knowing anything about his unrevealed will? But you find yourself in the word. You have a heart for the word. You develop an appetite for the things of God. You'll be surprised about the things that God puts in your heart, the things that God does, the promptings that God gives you. Just along the way, as you're just praying, that instantly things pop up like, hey, don't send the email, call the girl. Hey, when you're negotiating the price on a piece of ground, rather than negotiating and try to act like you're some big wheeler dealer, which I am not, rather than doing that, why don't you just ask him to pray and tell him that whatever God says to his heart, that's what you'll pay. That's how the land worked out. I mean, that's a very unorthodox thing to do. We got in the car and, you know, Kurt Parsley, he's our chief operations officer. He's the attorney. And, you know, we're talking about the land and the owner says, well, you think about it. You tell me. I'm talking about the 52 acres up on I-44. You think about it. You tell me, you know, what you want to do. I said, well, I know what I want to do. I want to buy the land. So I'd already destroyed any bargaining, like maybe they won't buy it. I already told him I want the land. He's like, well, great. Well, then let's sign. I was like, well, but I got a problem here. I got a problem because, you know, like, it puts me in the position of trying to, like, have to beat you down, negotiate down the price. And I don't want to do that because I'm a pastor. And then also, I don't know that I could, but I got to be a good steward because it's God's money, right? So would you do this? Would you just go home, tell your wife about our conversation, and the two of you pray, and then whatever God tells you to sell the land to us for, that's what we'll pay. Got in the car and Kurt was like, do you know what you just said? I was like, I didn't put any parameters on that, did he? He said, no, you didn't. Oh, Jesus, help us. But you know what I'm saying? You're just, as I'm riding around the land in the guy's truck, I just feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. You know what? I'm just saying, if you walk close to the Lord, God will drop things. We've been praying a long time about what to do. So just the fact that I hadn't heard up to that point didn't mean God wasn't answering the prayer or that God wouldn't tell me at the time. You know, you're going to come into the altar tonight. You're going to ask God for wisdom. You're going to ask him. But maybe he'll tell you right then what to do. When that happens, that's wonderful, and it does happen. But maybe what he'll do is he's heard you. You've approached him. You've told him what's on your mind. Now you're asking him. He hears. If he hears, he's going to answer, right? So he's going to give you the information when you need it. I mean, you have to have that confidence. We know that he hears us. Our receiving from God is directly related to our knowing he hears us. Look at what it says, verse 14, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You have to believe that. You can't come to the Lord and say, well, I wonder if God heard me. That is an absolute lack of faith. You have to believe he's here tonight. He is so glad you came. He so wants to help you. He loves to answer prayer. And when you tell him, he hears. That's awesome news. Number three, we know what has happened. So we know we have eternal life. That is, we're in relationship with God. We know he is listening. And we know what has happened. You say, what has happened? Verse 15, look at this. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Jesus doesn't say, look at this. He doesn't say, we will get what we've asked. He says, we have, present tense, what we've asked. You might not see the answer to your prayer in the moment you pray it, but you have to have that confidence he's already answered it, that it's already done, that it's already taken care of. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not so much an expectation that something will happen. Faith is a confidence that something has happened. It's saying, I talked to him. It's done. I mean, that's how faith works. George Mueller was supposed to make it over from England to Canada back in the 1800s. He was on a ship. The ship got socked in by fog. He went to the captain and he said, listen, I really do have to be there on Saturday morning for this conference I'm going to be speaking at. The captain said, Mr. Mueller, it will be impossible. We are socked in by fog, and even God himself couldn't get you there. To which Mr. Mueller said, Captain, let us pray. And they got down to pray. Mueller asked God to clear the fog and to get the ship there on time. The captain said, would you like me to pray? He said, seeing as how you do not believe that God will answer, and I believe that he already has, it will do no good for you to pray. He said, Captain, you can get up from your knees. The fog has lifted. And when the captain opened the cabin door, he saw that it had. And Mr. Mueller made it to his conference. I'm just saying, when you pray, we walk by faith, not by sight. You have to believe that when you prayed, it's already happened. Musicians, you can come. You have to believe God has already heard. You have to believe that God has answered. You have to believe that. That faith is confidence that something has happened. You just haven't seen it. Isn't that awesome? So what do you need God to do? And what is it that you need to tell him? Listen, he delights. Do you realize you got a relationship with him? If you're a child of God, he's your father. Jesus is your brother. I mean, your family. And you can come straight to him with confidence. And when you come to him with confidence, he's listening. You can boldly tell him what's on your mind. He's listening to you. And if he's listening, if he hears us, then we know that we have whatever it is we've asked in his name. We know it. We know you have it, present tense. You have it. You come into the altar, you're praying, you have it. You say, but I'd like to see it. That's where faith comes in. You trust you have it, and you know that God is going to show you that in his time, his place, but you have it. That's faith. I don't know what you need, and I don't know what you need God to do. I just know we serve a God who does amazing things. He's a God who does miraculous things. If we'll just listen, if we'll not get on, if we'll not try to force him onto our timetable, but say, God, all I want is what you want. All I want is, if you want it, I'm about it. If you don't want it, I don't want it. If you're in it, I'm all over it. If you're not in it, forget it. That's the last thing I want, is something you don't want for me. You have to be willing to say, God, I trust your will for my life more than I trust my will for my life. Because you're always better. You always do better.